Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth says Christ redeemed us when it didn't look like we were worth much.
I mean, what were we adding to his portfolio? Poverty and need. Sin. But he said, I want you. And I'm willing, though you don't add anything to my net worth, I want you.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth, author of Lies Women Believe and the Truth That Sets Them Free. For February 3rd, 2021, I'm Dana Gresh. If a store or a restaurant has been run down, there's some hope when a sign appears reading, "Under New Ownership." Well, the same is true in your life. When you give it to Jesus, the new owner can do amazing things with it. We'll consider that today in the series, Ruth, the Transforming Power of Redeeming Love. Here's Nancy.
Just before this session, someone handed me a poem. I don't even know who the author is, but it reflects on Naomi's words to Ruth, "Be still, wait, and rest. Sit still, my daughter, just sit calmly still. Nor deem these days, these waiting days, as ill. The one who loves thee best, who plans the way, hath not forgotten thy great need today. And if he waits, 'tis sure he waits to prove to thee, his tender child, his heart's deep love. Sit still, my daughter, just sit calmly still. Thou longest much to know thy dear Lord's will. While anxious thoughts would almost steal their way within because of his delay, persuade thyself in simple faith to rest, that he who knows and loves will do the best. Just sit still, my daughter, just sit calmly still, nor move one step, not even one, until his way hath opened. Thy inner being then, ah, then how strong, and waiting days not counted then too long. 'Tis hard, ah, yes, 'tis hard, 'tis true. But then he giveth grace to count the hardest spot the sweetest place." And as we look at the end of Ruth's life, at the end of the story of Ruth, as we have it recorded in the scripture, I think about that passage at the end of Job that says, "The Lord blessed the latter end of Job's life more than the first." The first part of Ruth's story has seemed to have so many troubles, so many problems. And isn't that true of the first part of all of our stories? Born into sin, born enemies of God, separated from God, and yet the grace of God always has a happy ending. Now, the problem is we like the ending to be sooner sometimes than what God intends it should be. But we're going to see the grace of God at work in Ruth's situation and be encouraged about how his grace is at work in our situations. Ruth chapter 4, let me read the first portion of this chapter and then we'll break it apart verse by verse. When we finished chapter 3, Ruth had just returned back to Naomi from asking Boaz to be her kinsman redeemer. And Naomi had said, "Wait and see what happens, because Boaz is going to be at work today fixing this situation." And what was the situation that needed to be fixed? Well, Boaz said to Ruth, "I'm willing to redeem you, but there is a kinsman redeemer who has a prior right. And so I'm going to have to go talk with him first." And that's where we are when we come to chapter 4. "Meanwhile, Boaz went up to the town gate," verse 1, "and sat there. When the kinsman redeemer he had mentioned came along, Boaz said, 'Come over here, my friend, and sit down.' So he went over and sat down. Boaz took 10 of the elders of the town and said, 'Sit here,' and they did so. Then he said to the kinsman redeemer, 'Naomi, who has come back from Moab, is selling the piece of land that belonged to our brother Elimelech. I thought I should bring the matter to your attention and suggest that you buy it in the presence of these seated here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, do so. But if you will not, tell me so I will know. For no one has the right to do it except you, and I am next in line.' 'I will redeem it,' he said. Then Boaz said, 'On the day you buy the land from Naomi and from Ruth the Moabitess, you acquire the dead man's widow in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property.' At this, the kinsman redeemer said, 'Then I cannot redeem it.'" In other words, that's another story. "I cannot redeem it because I might endanger my own estate. You redeem it yourself. I cannot do it. Now, in earlier times in Israel, for the redemption and transfer of property to become final, one party took off his sandal and gave it to the other. This was the method of legalizing transactions in Israel. So the kinsman redeemer said to Boaz, buy it yourself. And he removed his sandal. So we see Boaz going to the town gate to deal with this situation of the other kinsman redeemer. The town gate, as some of you know, was the center of city life. That's where people would transact business. That's where justice would be administered. That's where the elders of the town would gather to have deliberations. It was just a large open space near the entrance of the city where business and legal matters were conducted. Now, this nearer kinsman who had a prior right came along, and Boaz got his attention and said, "We have something to discuss." As I think about this other kinsman who is not named, he has a prior right. He's a closer male relative than Boaz to the deceased man Elimelech. I think that other kinsman redeemer is a picture of the law of God and the right that it had to condemn us as sinners. Before Jesus could save us from our sin as our kinsman redeemer, he had to go and do business with the law of God. You see, the law of God had a prior right on us. It could not redeem us, but it had the right to condemn us because we had not kept the law. So Jesus first had to settle things with the law, even as Boaz had to settle things with this other kinsman who was a nearer kinsman. And as we see Boaz taking this nearer kinsman to the city gate where these kinds of things were dealt with, I'm reminded of how in order to deal with the law and its claims against us, Jesus had to go outside the city to a place of disgrace, a place called Calvary. He had to die on a cross between two thieves. And there as he laid down his life, he not only paid the purchase price for our redemption, for our salvation, but he also robbed sin and the law of its power to condemn us, of its power to rule over us. And how did he do that? He did it by himself bearing the curse that was attached to the broken law. We had broken God's law. There was a curse attached to that. And in order to redeem us, Jesus had to go and himself bear the curse, pay the price. That was the ransom for our redemption. So Boaz took the elders of the town and said, "Come here, I want you to be witnesses of this exchange, of this transaction." We're going to see a transaction between Boaz and this other contender to be the redeemer. So he says to the kinsman redeemer, "Naomi, who has just come back from Moab, is selling the piece of land that belonged to our brother Elimelech." Now remember, we've said all along that in the Jewish culture, there were two important things that needed to be protected. From one generation to the next, they had to keep the family lands within the family and the family name. If there were no male heir to carry on the family line, if somebody had to sell their lands because of poverty, God had made provision for those lands and that family name to be able to be retained. He says that Naomi, because she's poverty-stricken, is being forced to sell her family lands. These are the lands of her husband, Elimelech. They're now going to leave the family. This was a serious thing to Jews. And so Boaz offers this nearer kinsman the right to redeem the land and therefore to rescue Naomi from poverty, to redeem her, to protect her. That's what a goel, a kinsman redeemer, was to do. When the nearer kinsman, the other man whose name we don't know, heard that this was an opportunity to acquire some land, at first he was eager. He said, "Yes, I will redeem the land. I'm willing to redeem it." And I imagine he was thinking to himself, "This is a chance for me to make some money." He looked at Naomi. He realized that she was past childbearing years. She was never going to have another son who would become the heir to her husband. So this nearer kinsman said to himself, "I think I can keep this property for myself." He saw it as a way to add to his net worth without a great expense to himself. He knew that this property would revert to his own possession once Naomi died. So he saw some profit here. And then Boaz throws in this little caveat, which he didn't mention at first. He said, "By the way, on the day when you get the land from Naomi, you also get with the land Ruth the Moabitess, the dead man's widow, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property." So not only do you get this land, when you get the land, with it comes a wife, a widow, a Moabitess, a foreign woman. And at this verse 6, the kinsman redeemer said, then I cannot redeem it. Because if I do, I might endanger my own estate. See, he realizes that if he takes Ruth to be his wife, that she could have a son, and then the property would belong to that son, would go through that family land, and he would have paid for the property, but he wouldn't have anything to show for it because it would go to the deceased family line. And when he counts the cost, he says, that's a price I'm not willing to pay. It might endanger my own estate. Here's a man who's looking out for himself. So he says, I can't redeem it. You redeem it. He didn't have any interest in acquiring Ruth with the land. And so we see that to act as a redeemer, to act as a Goel in these circumstances was costly. It wasn't just you pay some money and you get some extra land. It was you take on a whole huge responsibility for the family of this deceased man, for his widow, for the mother-in-law. You take on the whole situation as your own. And to be the redeemer was going to require personal sacrifice, an act of love and sacrifice that this other man was not willing to pay. And yet Boaz, what a picture of the Lord Jesus. He was willing to pay that price. I do not believe it was because he was wildly in love with Ruth in the way that we think of being in love in our culture today. I think it was because he was a man who had the heart of God. He had the heart of Christ. He's a picture, a type of the Lord Jesus, who was willing to endanger his own estate in order to redeem us. He was willing to pay the price, to be the loser, if you will, in order to redeem us, to purchase us, to meet our need. Aren't you glad that when Jesus came to redeem us, he didn't take thought for his own estate? I mean, think of all he left. Think of all he gave up to come from heaven to earth to be our redeemer. Think of his willingness to lay down his life to get us. I mean, what were we adding to his portfolio? Poverty and need, sin. But he said, I want you. And I'm willing, though you don't add anything to my net worth, I want you. I want to purchase you. I want to redeem you. He was willing to lose everything in order to acquire us for his own. No one else is willing to pay that price for you. Satan's not. The law wouldn't do that. Your family can't do that. Your mate can't do that. Your pastor can't do that. But Jesus could do that. And he was willing to pay the infinite price to endanger his own estate so that we could become his cherished possession.
Nancy DeMoss Wagamuth will be right back with the second half of today's teaching. Ruth demonstrates characteristics of a woman of faith. Do you have a daughter or know of a young woman who would benefit by learning from her example? This week, True Girl released a study on Ruth called Ruth, Becoming a Girl of Loyalty. This is a study designed for moms to walk through the book of Ruth with their daughters one verse at a time. Tween girls aged 8 to 12 will learn important concepts like true friendship, godly obedience, dealing with mean people, and so much more. You can visit mytruegirl.com to find out more details about the study. Plus, I'll be joining my team at True Girl to host an online study that you can join starting March 15th. Head over to mytruegirl.com to sign up. But right now, let's pick back up where Nancy left off in the story of Ruth.
We said earlier that in order to be a kinsman redeemer, you had to have the right to redeem. That means you had to be a near kinsman. You had to be a relative. You had to have the power to redeem. That means you had to be able to pay the price that was required to buy back the property, to take on the widow as your own. And Boaz was a wealthy landowner. He had the power to redeem. And then you had to have the willingness to redeem. And Boaz, as a picture of our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus, said, I am willing to redeem your situation, no matter what it costs me, no matter what it may mean to my own reputation, to my own convenience, to my own comfort, I am willing to take you and your situation under my covering. And remember when Ruth asked Boaz to become her kinsman redeemer, she said, would you spread the corner of your garment over me? That's a picture of what is happening now as Boaz says, I'm willing to be your kinsman redeemer. I'm taking you and your family and your desperate situation under my covering. I'm taking you under myself as my own situation. Now, there was a transaction required in order for the redemption to become official. And let me just go back to verse 7 of chapter 4 of the book of Ruth. Now, in earlier times in Israel, for the redemption and transfer of property to become final, one party took off his sandal and gave it to the other. This was the method of legalizing transactions in Israel. So the kinsman redeemer, the one who had the prior right on this property, said to Boaz, buy it yourself. And he removed his sandal. Now, all this seems kind of strange to us when I bought the piece of property on which I was going to build my home. I didn't go to the real estate office and take off my shoe or ask the owner of the property to take off their shoe. This seems kind of strange. We signed some papers and we had a legal transaction. But in the Jewish culture, in these days, to walk across a piece of property with your shoes on was a symbol of owning the property. You were in charge. You were the controller. You symbolically had the right to possess it. But by taking off his shoe, the other kinsman was saying, as was the custom, I relinquish my right to this property. I'm giving up my right to purchase this property. So he took off his shoe, he handed it to Boaz, and here we have a transaction whereby the one who could have been the owner says, I give up my rights. And now Boaz symbolically takes this shoe and says, I am the owner of this property, that the ownership has been transferred from one person to another. So the other kinsman's rights to redeem have been relinquished, and Boaz is now the one who has the right to own this property and to own this whole situation. Then verse 9, chapter 4, Boaz announced to the elders and all the people, today you are witnesses that I have bought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech, Naomi's deceased husband, and Chilion and Mahlon, who were her two deceased sons. I have also acquired Ruth the Moabitess, Mahlon's widow, as my wife, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property, so that his name will not disappear from among his family or from the town records. Today you are witnesses. So there's been a transaction here. There's been a purchase. There's a purchase agreement. There's a purchase price paid. The agreement is completed. There are witnesses. And now Ruth and Naomi and the property, the family lands, the family bank accounts, which apparently are nothing, maybe they're even in the red, the whole family situation is transferred to Boaz. Now, he's not becoming wealthier by taking on the situation. He is being generous and gracious and merciful by taking on this situation. And now, it's not Ruth's problem. It's not Naomi's problem. All this poverty, all the problems with the land, now it's Boaz's problem. He has taken over their whole situation. They are not their own. They have been bought with a price. Does that remind you of something in the New Testament? You are not your own, Paul says to the Corinthians. You have been bought with a price. Your life is no longer yours. Your troubles are no longer yours. Your spiritual failures and needs and problems are no longer yours. They've been taken over by your kinsman redeemer. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, Paul says, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are his. Now, I don't know about you, but having that concept, that picture of a new ownership over my life does two things for me. Number one, it gives me a huge sense of relief. My life isn't my own. Someone else has taken over my situation. And I can lean on him. I can look to him. I can rest in him. I don't have to be figuring out the whole direction of my life and how to solve all my problems. I have a new owner. I have a spiritual husband. One who says, I've taken your situation as my own. That's encouraging to me. That's comforting to me. That lets me be at rest. That lets me have peace in my heart. But it also gives me an enormous sense of responsibility. I'm not my own. So I better keep my hands off my own life. I better let him have control. He purchased me. He owns me. My life is his. And that says that it is his to do with as he chooses. He has the right to make the final decisions in every area of my life. And so Boaz affirms in the presence of these witnesses that he is assuming from Naomi the property that had belonged to Elimelech, to Mahlon, and to Chilion, that he's also assuming this widow, that he's taking on the whole situation. His purpose is to maintain the name of the dead, the name of the deceased, as well as his property, so that his name will not disappear from among the family records or the town records. And of course, in doing this, Boaz, though he doesn't realize it, is playing a key part, as is Ruth, in bringing about the family line that will lead to the great Redeemer, our kinsman Redeemer, our Goel, the Lord Jesus. The child that would be born as a result of their union would be considered the child of Ruth's deceased husband and would continue that family line, which, as we know, ultimately leads to Jesus. So I was reflecting this morning on this whole matter of Boaz and what he did to purchase Ruth and her situation, and how actually became a redeemer as well to Naomi. He just took over the whole situation as his own. And I thought about the other kinsman who was not willing to endanger his own estate in order to take on this situation. I'm reminded of that old gospel song that perhaps you've sung over the years. I will sing of my Redeemer and his wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross he suffered from the curse to set me free. I will tell the wondrous story, how my lost estate to save, in his boundless love and mercy, he the ransom freely gave. Doesn't that make you love him? Doesn't it make you want to worship him, sing to him, honor him, tell others about him? When you think of what he took over, where God found you, where you were apart from Christ, how hopeless and helpless and desperation your situation was apart from Christ. And then you realize that he stepped in. He said, I'll take your whole situation as my own. I want to give you a new family line. I want to give you a heritage, a legacy. I want to allow you to be a part of the family line of Christ. What an incredible Redeemer.
We have been redeemed and restored. I hope you're just as encouraged as I am by the reminder of this good news. Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth will be right back to praise our incredible Redeemer. We've seen Ruth isn't just a nice love story between two people. It points us to the ultimate love story between Christ and his church. It's a story that women desperately need to hear over and over again. And we want to help you share this message with other women. To that end, Ruth, Experiencing a Life Restored, is the newest study in the Women of the Bible series from Revive Our Hearts. It digs deep into the details of the book of Ruth and illustrates how God can take the broken pieces of our lives and turn them into something beautiful. Do you know someone who needs to hear that message of hope? Why don't you consider sharing this study with them, or better yet, just go through it with them together. You'll receive a copy of this Ruth study when you give a gift of any amount to the ministry. Your donation always helps us spread the truth of God's restoration to women all over the world. I hope you'll visit reviveourhearts.com right now to give, or call us at 1-800-569-5959. That number is 1-800-569-5959. Well, tomorrow we'll celebrate an important wedding day as Nancy continues in the book of Ruth. Right now, she's back to pray.
Lord, we don't have words to thank you for how you were willing to take ownership and possession of our situation. We didn't deserve it. We were poor and needy, separated from you, hopeless, helpless. In fact, the scripture says we were your enemies. But you loved us and you had mercy on us. You chose to make that transaction, to take ownership and possession of our lives. Lord, help us to give back to you that which rightly belongs to you now, to live as those who don't own ourselves but are owned by another. We bless you, we love you, and our heart's desire is to not keep this to ourselves, but to tell others of our wonderful kinsman Redeemer, that they too might come to find redemption through Christ our Lord. We pray in his name. Amen.
Reminding you that your life is not your own. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss-Walgemuth is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.